20. We have been focusing on striving to be a church of excellence. And there are several different things that we've been talking about up to this point. Things like striving for excellence just in our daily living. We talked about it in our worship, trying to talk about it in our homes. This morning, I want to focus on that subject that we just don't like to talk about a whole lot, and that is excellence in our giving. Okay? I think that there's something that we've got to change the way we think about our giving sometimes. And I have thought a lot about sometimes the, and this is not intended to be a criticism at all, it's intended to be a challenge for us to think differently in terms of our giving and so forth. But sometimes when we have our collection, our contribution being taken up, and even as Wes, as you did this morning, we oftentimes will pray, bless those who don't have to give. And again, this is not intended to be a criticism, but a challenge for us to change our thinking on whether or not anybody doesn't have something to give. I want you to think about that with me this morning. If we're striving to be a church of excellence, then that needs to be in all aspects of our lives as God's people and as Christians, including what we are giving and how much, and not just of our finances, but even of ourselves. But I think in order for us to really accomplish that, not only excellence in our giving, but in all of these things, there are some areas we need to change our thinking on. And we've talked about this many, many times in the past where, we go over to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where Paul talks about changing our thinking, our behavior, by changing the way we think. Do not conform, he says, any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We change our behavior only when we change the way we think. And so this morning, as we talk about our striving for excellence in our giving, I want to challenge all of us to change our thinking. Turn over to the passage, if you haven't already, in Mark chapter 12, and let's take a look at this particular story, and what is the message that Jesus is trying to give to us about our giving? Now, Mark records for us that Jesus is sitting down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he's watching the crowd put their money into the temple treasury. So there was a place, there was a collection point. They did not in the temple, as I understand back then, they didn't pass the collection place like we do. There was a central place that people would go to put their money into the treasury. And so Jesus was setting kind of across from that, watching those who were coming to put their contributions into the temple treasury. And he continues on with us and tells us many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Now, excuse me, Jesus then, after observing this behavior by the folks that are putting their contributions in, he makes this observation to his disciples. I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So let's take a look at this and see what can we learn about giving so that we truly can be excellent in our giving to the Lord. Let's talk first of all about giving out of our wealth. Okay? Notice that Jesus, as he's observing these folks, said that there were a lot of folks that were coming and they were putting in large amounts into the temple treasury. Okay? But notice Jesus' observation about that group of people. Okay? He says, verse 44, they gave out of their wealth. Some of your translations say out of their abundance. Okay? Well, what does that really mean? What is Jesus trying to, what's the message he's trying to portray by pointing out that these people, they were putting in lots of money, okay? But he says they gave out of their abundance or out of their wealth. Basically, what he's really trying to portray or get us to understand is that they gave out of their excess. They gave, in other words, their leftovers. Okay, think about it that way. In other words, they were so wealthy, they had more than they needed, and they were giving lots of money, but there was no sacrifice there. There was no, mostly there was no first fruit giving, and I think that's the most important thing. You see? In other words, apparently their attitude towards giving was one of, they had plenty to take care of themselves, so them giving this, even though they were giving lots of money, they weren't going to miss it a whole lot because they were secure in and of themselves in their abundance or their wealth. They, so not only were they not going to miss what they were contributing, but they felt pretty secure in themselves because they had plenty of money. Okay? You see, God wants us to be secure in Him, not in our possessions. Whether we have a lot or whether we have a little, God wants us to be secure in Him. That's the whole point behind what is referred to as first fruit giving. That's why God required of the Israelites to give of their first fruits. In other words, that whenever you got income, whenever you gathered in from the fields, whenever whatever you got, you were to give to God the first part of that. And what that meant was that was a statement to God of faith saying that I'm giving you the first part of what I received with faith that you're going to provide the rest of what I need. See, so you give that to God first. If you collect and you gather all that you need, and then from that take out what you don't need anymore, and you give that to God, that's not first fruit giving. See? And that's the problem that Jesus had with these folks. They were giving not only of what they weren't going to miss, but they weren't giving to God first. They were giving to God what they had left over. See? But then Jesus points out about this woman and her giving, okay? Comparing or contrasting this woman to those who he just talked about, those who are very wealthy and putting in lots of amounts of money or large amounts of money, he says, but she, that is the woman who put in two very small copper coins. First thing that he notices here and that he says is that she gave more than all of them. You know, well, wait a minute. What do you mean she gave more than all of them? They put in lots of money. And she put in two very small copper coins that were worth a fraction of a penny. So how could what she gave be more than what all of the rest of them gave? Well, you see, it's because the amount is not the main thing in our giving. You see? It's where our heart is. And that's why she was able to give more. You see, percentage-wise, she gave everything, Jesus said. All she had to live on. That was it. Two very small copper coins was her total amount of money. So she gave 100% of what she had. Numerically wise, she didn't give anything compared to what the others had given. But when it comes to giving to God and how God looks at it, she gave everything. She gave more than all of them put together. You see, what this woman did was gave out of her poverty, Jesus said. In other words, it's a situation where people today might look and say, well, I don't have anything to give. Well, she could have done that too. She said, all I got is these two little pennies. That's not even pennies. It's just a fraction of a penny, these two little copper coins. And that's all I have. And if I put those in the basket, then I won't have anything. But that's not what she did, is it? She said, that's all I have. But she gave that to God. Okay? She gave all that she had, and she gave out of her poverty. She really didn't have much to give at all. But she recognized that she did have something. And what she did have, it belonged to the Lord. You see, that, and the reason that it's so important for us to understand it is because that is a statement of faith and trust that God wants from us in our giving. In other words, this woman gave everything that she had, which wasn't much monetarily wise. It was all she had to live on, but she gave it with the faith and belief that God was going to take care of her and her needs. And that's the kind of giving that God wants from us, you see. That when we give to God, you see, from the heart in trust, that God is going to take care of my needs. He's going to take care of them. Rather than me giving large amounts just out of my excess. There's another interesting passage, if you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that gives this same kind of idea here, this idea of giving out of our poverty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul here writes to the church there in Corinth. He says, and now, brothers, just beginning in verse 1, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Look at verse 2. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. He's talking about their extreme poverty. This, I think, would qualify as people who didn't have much to give at all. You see? Extreme poverty. And they gave beyond their ability. They gave more than what they had to give. How did they do that? How is that possible? I mean, this woman that Jesus saw, she gave everything she had to live on, two little small copper coins. These folks gave even more than they were able to give. Well, notice that he says here, verse 5, they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. How do you give more than what you're able to give? More than or beyond your ability? You give first to the Lord yourself. See? And as we keep reading this, we look at what he says here. So as a result of this, he says, we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. In other words, he's encouraging the Corinthians there to complete their commitment in their giving, you say. And then he says this, verse 7, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. You see, isn't that something that we as God's people today should be striving to do, is to excel in this grace of giving? If not, then why should we be any different than Paul urged the Corinthian church to be? See? to excel in this grace of giving. As we continue reading on, he says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. See? The gift is acceptable. See? The willingness is there. If our heart is right with God, and that's what it's all about, you see, then the gift is acceptable. Notice that he says here, it's acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. So if all you have is two small copper coins, the gift is acceptable. You see? And you give out of your poverty with a sincere heart, a heart that loves the Lord. You see? Which is quite different than waiting until you get more money so that you can give more to the Lord because you feel like that you have to give more dollar-wise to the Lord. See? Again, it's not as much about the amount as it is about the heart. Now, when it comes to the amount, we need to be giving what, you know, what we are able. That's the whole point of this. You see? And when we give from the heart to the Lord, that's what we're going to do. Because we're going to be giving first fruits to the Lord. Rather than looking and seeing what we have left over after all of our bills are paid and all of our, you know, let's see what I got this week coming up. I got to have lunch every day. I've got to be able to do this. I've got car payment. I can pay this much. No. We need to give to the Lord first. You see? And when we do that, He's going to make sure we have enough to take care of all the other things that we need. You see? So it is a matter of us changing our thinking, and it really comes down to us giving out of our faith. That's really what it's all about. You see? Giving out of our faith. You see, as I said, giving has very little to do with the amount. It has everything to do with our faith and our trust in God. Giving first to God says that we trust that He's going to take care of our needs. That's giving out of our faith. Giving out of our faith and giving to everything else first says that we trust in ourselves rather than trusting in God. And what God wants us to do is to learn to trust in Him. Okay? That He will give us everything that we need. Now, understand, it's everything we need. It's not everything we want. And there is a huge difference between those two, isn't it? I want a lot of things. And I'm sure that if we took a survey and had you write down all the things you want, we'd find a whole host of things, wouldn't we? But those are more wants than they are needs. And God has never, as far as I know, promised to take care of all of our wants. Okay? But He has promised to take care of our needs. Excellence in giving then requires us to give ourselves first to the Lord, just like the Macedonians did. Okay? Give ourselves first to the Lord. And to be realizing that everything that we have comes from Him and belongs to Him. So when we keep that in mind, and we're looking at our giving that way, then I really think that we will be able to say, yes, we we're striving for excellence in what we are giving to the Lord. And so I hope that some of the things that I've shared with you this morning or maybe challenge your thinking a little bit on our giving and what we're doing, you see. There really is a big, big difference, according to God, when we give out of our wealth. You see, that's lots and lots of money, whether we give out of our poverty. One says, I'm trusting in myself to take care of me, and I give to God whatever I have left over. The other says, I'm trusting in God, and I'm going to give Him everything that I have, knowing that He's going to take care of me. Okay? And that's what we want to be striving for if we want to be excellent in our giving, or as Paul told the Corinthian church, to excel in our giving. It's something for us to think about in that whole area of our giving, our contribution, and the support that we have for the work of the Lord. Maybe, you know, in these things that I've shared with you, some challenges to you, and you're thinking about that some, and it caused you to reevaluate your ideas and attitudes and thoughts on giving. Maybe somebody here this morning that perhaps maybe need to repent in terms of not just giving, but perhaps something else in your life and giving yourself to the Lord. But maybe you haven't been doing that in your life. That's all a part of giving too. Okay? Maybe somebody here this morning has some other need that needs to go before the Lord. And so we offer the opportunity, an opportunity for anyone to come and to bring what's on their heart to the Lord. Maybe somebody here this morning who's ready to become a Christian. And if that's your situation, you're not a Christian, your sins are separating you from God still. But you can have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism right now, this morning. Chuck, by the way, is our new baptistry guy. And he has assured me that the baptistry is clean and warm and ready to go. So we appreciate him doing that, but the point is that you don't have to wait. If you're ready to give your life to the Lord, then call upon Jesus as Lord of your life. Claim him as such. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in baptism this morning, right now. You can do that. You don't have to wait at all. Okay. I'll be up here to receive anyone who would like to come up to the front and Ted be in the back. If you would like to just have a private conversation or prayer with him back there, he'll be back there to receive you. Tom, come up and lead us in the song, please. Let's stand together.